The Psychedologist.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for tuning in to The Psychedologist. My name is Leah Friedman, and I'm coming to you today, a drippy, chilly day in Connecticut, February 2019. And I've been scaling back a little bit the release of episodes, trying to center my self-care and emergence, and just make it through this winter alive. My first winter in the Northeast for 5 years now. I've chosen to teach in the fall and then travel and do different educational and developmental opportunities in the spring, from learning permaculture to traveling, mushroom cultivation, medicine work, most of these things abroad. So this year I decided to stay home. I'm pleased to be bringing you this episode today. It's a conversation with Danielle Negrin of the San Francisco Psychedelic Society. And we talk about psychedelic support and recovery, amongst a lot of other things. The episode is coming out a bit later than it was recorded. Typically, we get them out right after, but this one was recorded over a month ago. Sorry for the delay, and some of the events that we talk about, I think, have already passed. But definitely check them out on Facebook at Psychedelic Society SF for more information. And they're on Instagram. So Danielle Negrin is one of the SFPS's community organizers and the social media manager, specializing in addiction recovery and personal journey work. In this episode, we explore the new happenings of the SFPS, Danielle's profound transformation, overcoming dependency, dependency to substances, and her personal experience of getting off of psychiatric drugs. It's fascinating and incredible. By discovering a unique path, utilizing psychedelic medicine and microdosing to heal herself, Danielle overcame a 12-year addiction and has dedicated her life to helping others with compassion and firsthand experience. Danielle facilitates psychedelic therapeutic use peer support groups and started a psychedelic recovery meeting network in the Bay Area for those using entheogens to aid and accelerate mental health, trauma recovery, personal development, and freedom from problematic substance abuse behaviors. Please enjoy this episode, and thank you for listening. So, Danielle, tell us about how the San Francisco Psychedelic Society got started. You guys are like a young but also a really old group, right?
Yeah, so we recently relaunched San Francisco Psychedelic Society after a four-year hiatus. It was started by a man named Daniel Jabor several years ago who passed away. So about 9 months ago, it was passed down to us by Irina and Mike Margulies. And since then, we've been growing it, and it's really taking off and growing exponentially every day in the Bay Area.
And not surprising.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest, especially after Michael Pollan's book, and people are popping up like mushrooms. So it's really exciting to see this movement take on and take new form.
Yeah. Now, would you say you guys are like, some of the societies are more, they have like integration groups, and some of them have a lot of educational stuff. Like, you guys are doing a variety of events, right?
Exactly. So we have a monthly community meeting in San Francisco where we feature speakers from different organizations like MAPS and Chacruna and Botanical Dimensions. It's more of an educational speaker format. And then we break out into breakout groups where people have the opportunity to weave community and conversation and get to know each other. Breakout groups are generally about psychedelics 101 for newcomers, integration, microdosing, mushrooms, We also offer movie nights. We're starting a Kava social. We have integration circles. I started a psychedelic recovery group recently. I also facilitate a psychedelic therapeutic use peer support group for people who are considering psychedelics or using psychedelics to treat conditions like OCD, addiction, PTSD, depression, anxiety. So this new wave of using psychedelics for mental health and addiction is, I'm now supporting people through that.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. Do you, let's see, so two different groups. Do you think you could tell us a bit more about the first one? What does that mean, psychedelics and recovery?
So psychedelics and recovery, the group is specifically for people who where normal treatment methods didn't work for them. And our first state, we have like five agreements that the group is based on. So we do not judge. We do not stigmatize any substance. We do not exclude anyone. We respect the psychedelic medicines with reverence. We welcome those in recovery and individuals still using with a desire to change. So the group is mainly, the focus is on addiction, alcoholism, and dependency to substances, and using psychedelics as a tool to heal the addiction issues.
Wow. Yeah, I think Boston Entheogenic Network has been addiction and recovery support group. So kind of the same idea. And I know a lot of people, I've heard from a number of people in AA or NA who like feel they can't come out to those communities about their psychedelic use. So I think it's really positive, and it definitely in the spirit of risk reduction to have that sort of circle where that's okay and not stigmatized.
Exactly. People from AA or refuge recovery tend to look down on psychedelics and cannabis. They don't support people who are actively using these medicines. And the abstinence-based worked, and it didn't work for me personally. Sobriety does not equal recovery. Getting sober is not healing the addiction. So having a group where people can show up and say, you know, I'm still in my recovery process, or I'm still using, but I do want to still use cannabis, but I do want to get off opiates, or I do want to use mushrooms, but get off psych meds. That's where we have a place, and it can feel safe there.
Wow. Yeah. Getting off psych meds, I imagine that's like a very challenging endeavor because there's so many side effects, and you're coming off like something that has made your reality a certain way, and then now it's becoming this new way. I would be scared to take psychedelics in a process like that, but I can also see that it would probably be extremely helpful.
Yeah. So coming off of psych meds, I first want to say I'm not a doctor. I'm not recommending that anyone do it.
I'm not a doctor either. I'm a psychedologist.
For those that are on psych meds and it's not really working for them, or they're not feeling well, that was my situation. And there's not really a path that is paved for those that want to get off the psychiatric medications. It's an extremely difficult endeavor. It takes a long time to safely taper off of them. And then the question is, what does the aftercare look like? What does the treatment look like? From my experience, the psych meds didn't actually treat the issues that I had. They more treated the symptoms. But psychedelics have gotten to the root of my problems. They also healed the withdrawal symptoms for me, which was extremely powerful. And I didn't know that existed. If you research psychedelics healing withdrawal symptoms, nothing really comes up.
Wow. Huh. So do you feel like you could go into a little more detail on that? Like what was helping with the withdrawal? Was it like the psycho-spiritual changes going on? Do you think there was like chemical interactions that were supportive also?
Definitely. first, ayahuasca was a strong detoxifier for the medication. The first ceremony I went into, I was in severe benzo withdrawal. Benzodiazepines such as Xanax and Valium and Clonopin are, I think, one of the most highly addictive and highly prescribed medications in our country, in our world. And I had extreme withdrawal symptoms coming off those. I was also something called polydrugged for 12 years. And the ayahuasca helped me purge out a lot of the pharmaceuticals, letting go of the toxic chemicals. It healed symptoms such as tremors and shaking. It reset my brain. It helped my brain work better. It helps me open up past wounds and roadblocks. I also developed a connection with spirit and my angels, and that was the disconnect that I always had on pharmaceuticals. I never had any sort of belief in a higher power or something bigger than myself. So not only did it heal, it also healed trauma, released a lot of trauma for me. It wasn't a magic bullet. It was serious work. It was not a quick fix, not something to do at a party, not something to do alone. I also had vision issues coming off of the psych meds. I couldn't see very well. I had constant state of tracers. It was almost like being in withdrawal is a psychedelic that just doesn't go away. The bad parts of a psychedelic, that it was a constant state of that. So substances like Sananga helped me get my vision back from the benzo withdrawal. And facing it head on was the only way I was able to get through it. The only way out is through.
That's definitely a teaching of Sananga.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for anyone who doesn't know, and you probably do know more than I do about this. It's these eye drops that were used to like heighten the vision and the ability to hunt, and they burn like fuck. That's all I can say. Is there anything I missed?
They burn. They make your body shake. It's the ultimate surrender. You just have to let go and let the medicine take over your body. It's quite painful for a little while, but you feel better after. And it really helped my vision come back from being impaired for so long.
And like, do you mean your physical vision? What do you mean by that?
Yes. Yes. I lost my physical vision. It was blurry and I saw tracers for over a year. I couldn't drive my car.
Wow. Because when I took Sananga, the person sharing it with me was telling me that it could be for inner vision too. And I felt it was on the full moon. No. It was what was the special event? It was on the solstice. There was a lunar eclipse on the solstice, I think. And it was right around that time. And I felt like I had clearer access to my intention for this, the solstice and the full moon and just the coming of 2019. I don't know. To me, it was very symbolic in that way. So it's interesting that I think it cleared my physical vision as well, though.
And decalcifies the pineal gland.
Right.
Like a shower head.
Huh. Wow. Okay. So, all right. Then so the entheogens were helping and you went through that process, and like, what did you ever have a doubt that you were doing the right thing? Well, like, were there some hard points in that, or like, did it work better than you thought?
I think the question I always had from at least my family was, are you using a substance to just get over another substance, like using ancient psychotropic plant medicines to treat addiction withdrawal? It seems kind of contradictory, especially for someone that has a substance use disorder, to use one drug that induces hallucinations and replace it for another. But for me, it's been a holistic treatment that's worked better than anything I've tried. At the beginning of the withdrawal process, I was on a sufficient amount of CBD oil, and that just was really expensive, and it didn't help me get to the core of what was wrong, and it also didn't heal the withdrawal symptoms sufficiently. I needed something stronger. Ayahuasca had a similar effect on my withdrawal process. I like to compare it to how ibogaine snaps people out of heroin addiction and heroin withdrawal. Ayahuasca had a similar effect on benzo and psych med withdrawal. And it wasn't just in one ceremony. I had to keep going back. But it did provide me with a new life and a whole new path to recovery that I was not aware existed. And it's not addictive. Ayahuasca is not addictive. It's actually been linked to a reduction in substance use disorders and related psychosocial problems, sort of breaking the mold of how we view addiction treatment. Psychedelics can stop addiction and provide a new life for people.
I've seen those studies and I fully believe it. And I've seen it in friends that ayahuasca and like psychedelic work done with support and integrity can be huge at moving someone forward. I do think I've also seen people, it's not like a chemical dependency on ayahuasca, but it's like they keep going back for more answers and not integrating it into their daily life, which is like the huge place where community comes in, I think, and being surrounded by community that can understand what you've been through. I don't know. It's exactly. I think it's very important what you're doing back in SF, and probably like I'd imagine if I were in your shoes that would be helping me too.
Exactly. Thanks for mentioning the integration piece. That was a huge part of my journey. I've been in this recovery program called Being True to You Recovery. Mm-hmm. They offer coaching and psycho-spiritual addiction recovery, plant medicine integration. So for the first year and a half that I was using ayahuasca, I would sit on these video calls and with other people throughout the world that are using psychedelics and treating their addiction issues and working with the coach, integrating all the lessons that I was learning and the downloads that I was getting. And that eventually led me to start my own groups.
Do you have a vision for the groups? What do you want to see 6 months from now or a year from now?
I feel like the long-term vision is to have the psychedelic recovery groups be as prevalent and accessible as AA or NA are. Like right now, it's just once a month in San Francisco, and I'd like to see it grow to be available in multiple cities and multiple states. We have sort of a format that I've created for the group. I've introduce sound meditations. I have like singing bowls and a drum, and the focus is not on the 12 steps at all. We don't have a format that's around. You don't have to believe in a higher power or God to attend our groups. And I would like to start implementing more opportunities for people to be of service and volunteer, because I know that that's being of service has been one of the biggest components to help me recover, to be there for other people, to listen to other people, to get outside of myself, out of my own head, out of my own struggle and process, and be present for others. And through that, I'm able to discover who I really am.
That is so beautiful. Definitely using that quote when I publish this episode. Catherine McLean, I live on the same farm that she lives on, and she did they were meeting over the web, I'm pretty sure, but it was like a psychedelic Good Samaritan class, and it was like integration tied in with community service and support to, you know, some cause that didn't bring you any tangible return. And just what a central piece that can be. I think that it's in our nature to, pick insects out of each other's hair and you know, like humans don't survive very well in small groups. It's the tribe or like 130 some people. That's like kind of the sweet spot for humans, I think, to be in alignment and in harmony with their environment anyways.
Absolutely. And to know that there's other people, that you're not alone, and that there's other people going through something similar, having that community is the opposite of addiction is connection.
So you guys often have breakout sessions at the end of your events for that reason, right? Because people enjoy the meeting so much.
Yeah, and it's a way to weave new connections and birth new friendships. I run the society with two phenomenal individuals named Seth and Domla. We're all on the steering committee together, so they also lead breakout groups. Like Seth will lead a group on mushrooms, and Domla will lead a group on integration or microdosing. And we also have other members of our community lead these breakout groups. And it's a fantastic way to just have a deeper connection with the attendees. And we don't want to have the whole meeting focused on just the speaker. We want people to meet each other, exchange information, make friends, keep coming back. We provide cacao and we have snacks for people to share a meal over. Zero waste is something we've recently implemented at our events, trying to minimize the impact we have on the planet, the footprint and the waste that we're creating.
Something I like to ask people that come on the show is what your consciousness hack is, or what your favorite way to like tap into yourself or to, you know, change or elevate your consciousness. Like what have you been doing lately that, like a life hack related to presentness, I guess.
Been doing a lot of Kundalini yoga lately. A lot of breath work, a lot of movement, meditation. I've also, another hack I've been using is lion's mane mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
The lion's mane has been really helpful for my brain and my recovery process as well.
Yeah, that it boosts cognitive function, right?
Exactly. Just something that comes up for me when you say that is, you know, people think that psychedelics cause brain damage, and actually they're neurogenic. They help people heal from traumatic brain injury or a chemical-induced injury. They help bring a person back to homeostasis.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been drinking ginkgo leaf, gota kola, peppermint rosemary tea every day to improve cognitive function, and I'm tincturing it now. And I think when it's done, I'm going to combine it with a lion's mane tincture, and it'll just be like a brain-boosting blend because, well, I don't think I'm taking psychedelics enough for much neurogenesis to happen, but I do notice memory deficits from using cannabis, even if I'm just using it like very seldom. I still notice kind of a lag in my focus and my memory, and that doesn't always work. Sometimes it does work really well. I can see how like the memory side effects, quote unquote, of cannabis could actually be beneficial for like someone recovering from a severe physical or emotional trauma. Also, I'm sure, yeah, it can definitely be used to numb, but I think, I can't remember what cannabis advocate was saying this, that like, that's actually not a bad thing for our brain to do, like kind of forget the unimportant stuff and be more in the moment or whatever. But,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Definitely. Coming off the psych meds, really impacted my memory and my cognitive functioning. So I've had to be resourceful and find new ways to enhance that without taking just another pharmaceutical that was my route for 12 years. And now discovering new options for cognitive functioning and just functioning in general in this world. How do we be present with ourselves when we've been taking something every day for majority of our adult life? How do we feel okay being normal, not taking anything? That's been my my biggest challenge in the past few years, is being okay, being present with myself without taking any substance. I'm used to taking a handful of pills every day to function, and now I'm not really taking anything besides some lion's mane and a little bit of CBD oil. It's a huge growth that I'm experiencing and transformation. And I'm really grateful for every day that I don't take anything. And then I proved to myself that I can function and I can be present in this world without a chemical dependency.
That's powerful.
Yeah. If you're afraid of something, go towards it. This isn't all about the pretty lights, and it hasn't been easy. And part of this healing has been facing my own darkness and becoming friends with the shadow. I love the shadow now. I like talking about the shadow. That's why I enjoy these support groups so much, is because I want to hear about the darkness people are facing. I want to hear about the struggle. I can relate to the struggle. Majority of my life has been struggle, and I'm moving out of that now. I'm in a new phase, but I want to be there for others that are still very much in the depths. And, you can't escape your problems. You just have to greet them. When you meet your monsters, make them tea, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Starhawk?
No, what's that?
Starhawk is this witch, activist, permaculturist. She is my permaculture teacher, and she's, I think, in her 70s, maybe even, I'm not really sure. I think she's a baby boomer, so she's probably in her 70s. And she wrote a number of wonderful books as well. She's an author. And in one story, The Fifth Sacred Thing, which is probably her most famous work of fiction, it's like, yeah, I don't know, future dystopian, magical realism, scientific fiction-ish. And it's witchy too. One of the like wise elders in the community, which is San Francisco, and it's the last vestige of clean water and healthy ecosystem. It's like all of the world is barren and all the resources have been dried up, but San Francisco has like been stewarded really conscientiously by these people, this huge community. And so like the outside world, which is like totally dependent on antibiotics and all these other things, and they're really unhealthy because they don't have nutritious food, and they're like, yeah, dependent on all these drugs. They're like going to come to San Francisco and take it because that's where the last resources are. And so the whole community is trying to decide what to do. And she goes home that night and she has a dream about this neighbor of hers who really pisses her off, and she just doesn't want to see him. And she's very like exacerbated by him. And in the dream, he's like coming to her door and she invites him in. And she's like, what am I doing? I hate this guy. And then next thing she knows, she's saying, there's a seat at my table if you'll join me. And she invites him to dinner, and he comes and sits down for dinner. And she's like, what? So she wakes up and she realizes that that is how they need to meet this oncoming army, is to invite them to join them. And I always thought about it as like how we can work with other people. And, you know, if there's someone who really challenges you, like, you know, open your heart to them. And now it's making so much sense too, that it's also like what to do with our biggest fears and the things that put us at risk, is to embrace them. And yeah, because the community didn't have any weapons or anything. There's no way that they could fight them. But people were being like, we can get this, we can get that, we can build a wall, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, we're not going to even stop them. And even when the soldiers come and they're like killing the people still say like, please join me, like have some food at our table. It's really moving.
I love that.
You should read it. The Fifth Sacred Thing.
That sounds really right up my alley.
Yeah. I have an extra copy. I'll bring it to San Francisco this summer.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
So is there anything else that you want to tell us about or anything else you want to say? Anything about SFPS or, yeah.
Yeah, just something I've realized with a friend recently that there's a lot of talk about the psychedelic renaissance. And we noticed that it's from these groups popping up, there's more of a psychedelic psychotherapeutic renaissance happening as well. That it's not just a bunch of new people taking psychedelics for recreational reasons. They're taking them for therapeutic, for spiritual, for mental health, for physiological withdrawal reasons. So there's a new wave of recovery and people finding hope from these medicines and help, getting actually helped by these medicines beyond the recreational sort of pretty light effect. So that's something that's really sticking out for me right now.
Yeah.
And in regards to the society, I want to say that everyone that I associate with there is a really high caliber individual. We can't refer people to guides, but there's a lot of crowdsourcing that happens at our meetings and connection. For everyone, it's something different. And we want to build an organic community of new and experienced psychedelic people. We want to destigmatize the use of all psychedelics and drugs. And we want to partner with more organizations. We want to keep growing this thing. We're really excited about where it's going and becoming legitimate. And beyond the society, there are recovery programs, there are therapists, there's coaches that specialize in psychedelic integration, addiction recovery, and life coaching. I have plans to eventually be a recovery coach in the next year and be there for other people. That's my mission, to help others get through this process.
Thank you so much, Danielle, for sharing your story and so much great information and analysis. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me and believing in what we have going on.
Yeah. I can't not. It's true. It's my truth. Where can people find the SFPS and or yourself? If any links you want to supply or Facebook names?
Yeah. So for the Psychedelic Society, you can type in SF Psychedelic Society on Facebook, on Instagram, Meetup. Our website is psychedelicsocietysf.org. For the psychedelic recovery group, just type in psychedelic recovery on Facebook, entheogenic recovery on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram, connect with D, and you can email us sfpsychedelicsociety@gmail.com or email me at psychedelicrecovery@gmail.com.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.